partnered up with GSMI to do an ebook earlier this year on solo social media. So you'll see this a couple of times, but if you want to go grab it, it will have the things we're going to talk about here today and more. So it's at info.brainzooming.com/solo SMSS. So who saw Bev Jack's presentation? Everybody was here for that? This is sort of the opposite of that, because you know she was talking about, I've got this team and we've got all these people, and this is all about when you don't have that team and you don't have all these people. So who is a one-person social media department? My peeps. All right. So you guys have multiples? No, you're one. One and not even here. There you go. There, that busy. So what we're going to talk about today is how to try and stay sane as a one-person social media department. And quite honestly, this comes from living this life myself. The BrainZooming Group, we do strategy and innovation consulting for companies. Part of that at times gets into social media and content marketing, but it's not certainly the majority of things. I mean, like right now, we're working with a foundry. I mean, like that pours metal and heavy stuff like that to re-engineer and think differently about one of their internal processes and help them through that innovation. But this is basically, company was almost started out of social media and basically have been a one-person social media department even before the company existed. So if you look at that logo up in the far right, YRC Worldwide, I spent about 18 years there in transportation and logistics and was doing different things with strategic planning. And about 2 years before I left, I started blogging about it, of the things we were doing inside the company, and that led to some side projects. And really, social media was the reason I even had the guts to start BrainZooming, because I was like, well, I think we've got something here. So it's been a social media department of one pretty much. I've unfortunately never really been able to convince the people that I work with, some of the other partners, that it's valuable and it would be a good use of their time. So today's blog post is about the 8 smartest solo social media tips I've yet to try. So there's a lot of good stuff out there that I just haven't gotten around to trying yet. But you will notice this is post number 2066. So of over 2,000 posts, I've probably written 1,900 of those. So it's been a lot of the focus. So yes, I am a solo social. You know, I should rename this to something I could actually say, like in the moment, as opposed to solo social media, which I now seem to be unable to pronounce. But blog religiously. We've been blogging 4 or 5 times, most of the time 5 days a week since we really started this. Tweet 24/7 through multiple accounts, really just featuring links out there. Facebook, kind of daily posts, lots of cat pictures. You know, we have a new cat now, so he's getting new attention. Our last cat, actually, she got her title, her BrainZooming title, from folks on social media who named her the Director of Enthusiasm. And she actually became a social media celebrity. I would go to events and people didn't really care how I was, but they wanted to know how the Director of Enthusiasm was. So she actually did a guest blog post for another blog, and when she passed away, there was like this outpouring of thousands of people like liking her picture. It was just incredible that she's a lot more popular than I am on social media. But anyway, so LinkedIn. So we hit a lot of this stuff, and I really, that idea about be smart where you're at and try and be as good as you can at those places, I think makes sense. There's a lot I think we could do with our presence, but quite honestly, it's just tough as one person to make it happen. It's interesting, though, I get calls from vendors where they say, well, we've got a really great solution for your team. It's like, well, we look a lot bigger than we are. Our team is me, so I don't need to necessarily share a lot of this back and forth with other people. Again, if you just happen to come in or if you want to go get that book, it will have a lot. So we'll go through this kind of quickly, and that will be a lot more of the detail is in this book. So, since you're all solo social media folks, pretty much, do any of these challenges seem familiar about trying to develop strategy and get the work done? You've got competing priorities going on. A lot of times the budget isn't there, there's not enough time, and you've got to produce content. Those roughly all of get a picture of it, and you can take that back and say, see, we're not the only ones. Other people, send it to the boss right now. Well, actually, that came out of, I did a survey when I was starting to put this content together of other solo social media people to see what was out. Basically, it seems like those fall into 3 categories: strategy, performance, and resources. So that's really those 3 areas of what we're going to talk about today, is some ideas in terms of strategy, how to use it most effectively and really turn it to your advantage from a performance standpoint, or there's some things to save time, some stuff that we've tried or we've seen other people do. And then from a resources standpoint and lack of budget, how do you make that case back to the boss that we need some more support here? The various slides will have little icons on there, you know, that suggest sort of where you'll get some of that benefit. In case you actually, we get to a slide later where you say, well, gosh, Mike, what's that going to do for me? I have my handy dandy guide here because I won't remember my own icon, so I can answer that if you've got a question. So in terms of strategy and what can you do, how can you take the best advantage of strategy? If you can really solidify your strategy, and you've heard that a lot throughout this conference, then you figure that out first. You know, if you can articulate it and document it. And we had this conversation at the dinner last night about, well, if you're by yourself, how much value is there in documenting some of these things? Well, you know, it may help you. It may help if you get hit by a bus. But ultimately, it can help reach out and help other people sort of know what you're doing and maybe start to build some other folks who can be involved in things. If you can stick to it, as opposed to, and I had a friend one time who talked about corporate amnesia. Basically, people just forget they said they were going to do something, or they get bored with it and they start shifting around, and that's a real time killer. And then you can take some of the guesswork out of things that you're doing. You can make decisions more quickly. Basically, if you've got good strategy, it can get you out of being seen like the kid or the social kid in the candy store. You know, this is that one of the graphics of all the social media tools and networks and platforms out there. And I looked at that one day and I was like, that does look just like a bunch of gumballs. And that's sort of how people approach it at times, you know, with executives of, I want my Twitter, I want my Facebook, or who was it yesterday was talking about Snapchat, the CEO? Yeah, well, but I mean, the CEO, oh, at MGM, called up Bevjack, like the CEO wanted Snapchat. Oh, goodness. So first solo social media tip is learn to say no with a solid strategy behind it. You can't just say no and you know, hope that that's gonna pass. So I want you to think about, even if you're on your own, you've got at least one other incredible member of your team, and it's this question: what are we trying to achieve? If you can start questions about social or content marketing with that question, it can help you create the strategy, prioritize, say no, focus your work. It makes you a smart business person. Even if you're viewed as the social media person or the communications person, it's going to make you sound like the business person within the organization. So we're going to rehearse this conversation. Your boss comes to you, somebody in the company comes to you and says, we need to get a Twitter. What are you going to say? Yes, you were listening. Thank you so much. Let's rehearse that again. They come to you and say, we need a Twitter. What are you going to say? Yeah, excellent. And then you say no. Then you have the conversation. So this table is in the ebook. This is just sort of a general, instead of starting with what are our typical tactics in social media, which happens so often, it starts you back with what's the business objective? What are we trying to make sense of? What are we trying to make happen? Actually, I had a client recently they do mental health care for young people, foster care, and basically gave her the charge to go around to 5 business unit presidents and ask them that question on the left. And the fascinating thing was a lot of these business unit presidents had no clue what their business objectives were. They couldn't say it, but they wanted social media to fix that. And it was interesting. She came back with one list of 5 things. She's like, are any of these right? It's like, oh, they're all incredible business objectives. They weren't about growth, but they were about doing things better inside their organization and improving their service and their employee engagement. It's like, we can do things with social and content related to all of those. But again, we took it back to the business objective. So it's a nice way to set up and have that conversation. What are we trying to achieve from a business standpoint? And then starts to ease you into, well, where might social fit into that as opposed to the other way around? So a great tool. It's in that book to use. And you can also take great advantage as well of things like brand promise, brand experience, big brand statements, you know, things you're saying out in the marketplace, and sort of reverse engineer into those at times. Well, who should our audience targets be? Or does that say maybe our social personality needs to be a little bit different than it has been? Or what other types of integrated content opportunities do we have? So there's some questions in that ebook as well where you can go through and look at your brand promise and sort of reverse engineer, what does that start to say about some of these other things that actually help me take that and implement on a daily basis a social and content strategy? And the idea, particularly if you're sending stuff to your boss about we need resources, if you can talk to them about strategy, it sets you apart in a very different way. It's a lot, I won't say it's easier, but you've got a lot better shot at getting buy-in and have a real business conversation with them as opposed to the kid in the candy store kind of thing. Interestingly, last year by this time in this conference, I think personas had been talked about in every single presentation. I've heard just a couple mentions this year. So I guess my question is everybody using audience personas? Was 2015 the year of everybody's using audience personas for content? Who's using? Well, though we are going to explain it. I just wanted to be, it was just interesting. It was a real shift from last year. So an audience persona, what that is sort of your prototypical audience member. Who's the person that you're trying to reach? And not just demographically, but maybe a 3, 4, 5 paragraph description about who that person is, what their issues, their concerns are, their hopes, their aspirations. But it's not all that about just your brand. It's more about them in general. Because that starts to unlock a lot of content opportunities to think about, well, where is this person and what's going to be of interest to them as opposed to what am I interested about as a brand that I'm trying to shove down their throats. So here's 10 questions, and you'll hear me say it again. These are in the book. We use these questions in probably in about 15 minutes. If you've got somebody who's touching the customers directly, a salesperson or some customer service people, some frontline people, maybe some other folks who've got a sense of the marketplace, and sit down and just play through these questions. Pick a name for that person, pick a gender for that person, an age, and then start to ask these things. The client I was talking about, the healthcare one, we did this online with them a couple of weeks ago. We had their communications team that was spread out among their business units, and in about 75 minutes, we build out the input for 4 or 5 audience personas just using these questions. Now, you can spend tens of thousands of dollars doing the research, and a lot of brands do, but if you've at least got a description of who you're trying to write to, it can help you. I mean, so that's the one for brain zooming. And I realize we need to have more of them. That's one of the things on my list for this year is to have more audience personas because there's more in the audience than just this one person. But if you've got those, you can then maybe start to reach out to other people to help create content as well. Because instead of going to them and saying, would you write this article for me, you can start to give them a little bit more background and saying, we're trying to write to this person, we're trying to reach this person, and what do you know about our brand, what do you know about what we do that might be relevant or might be of interest for this person. So an audience persona can be another great pillar in your strategy. Using social networks in varying ways. So, we've got our strategic foundation, we know from a business objective, our audience. Now, how are we going to start to plug these networks in if realizing that I'm the only one doing it? And I thought Phil's point yesterday was great about, rather than be mediocre on 10, be a rock star on 3 platforms and think about which of those 3 make the most sense for you. Something we do, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it today, but at times it can be tough as you're talking back to the executives in your organization to help them think about how would you use these things or why would you do these things. And have done this thing, we actually did a closing keynote at the Boston one of these last fall talking about these different models. But I'll share one important one. Where does a blog fit into your structure? And that can be a tough one to sell to people because it seems like, well, that's a lot of time and where are we going to come up with topics? If you can think about your blog as a corporate campfire, so just think about a campfire. What types of stories do you tell around a campfire? Scary stories. What other kinds of stories? A campfire is something when you're out in the woods, you take some wood and you put it to, and there, you light that, and then people, marshmallows. What else? Ghost. Family stories, funny stories, adventure stories. They're all stories with emotion. If you came to a campfire and said, I've got a story about a new global total customer solution that's destined to change the marketplace and provide new value to our customers here and abroad, they would kick you out of the campfire because that would be so boring and nobody would want to hear that. Yet that's what people try and put on corporate blogs, and it's the same kind of thing. If you thought about, this is our opportunity to tell our corporate stories, our business stories, our people stories, that really helps you focus in on what that blog should be. You know, Twitter's like a networking event. You wouldn't go in and just start shouting at a networking event. You'd go listen to people, go engage. Same kind of thing with Twitter. Facebook increasingly is like television. You know, people are focused on a whole variety of things, and you got to pay to start to get some attention, but ultimately you got to entertain. You can't be selling all the time. YouTube's home, like home movies. If those descriptions are in that book, but if you think about those, it's a helpful way to start to get your management and maybe even you thinking about, well, how are these things going to fit together? And if I only have time for two or three, what are the right two or three variables that are going to really move us ahead on our business objectives? This one was interesting. So Christine yesterday said Pinterest is a catalog of ideas. Because I've been talking about Pinterest all along as Pinterest is like a teenage girl's bedroom. There's stuff all over the place. There's pictures. But if you walk in, you're going to sort of have a sense of what's of interest to her, what she cares about, what she does with her friends. But now I'll have to change that to it's a catalog of ideas. That's not as funny as a teenage girl's bedroom. But anyway, metrics. Who struggles with metrics on social or content? No? You've all got metrics down? We'll keep going then. Nervous laughter alert. Here's an idea to think about metrics that, again, is going to resonate with executives more than here's our clicks and here's our likes. And they go, well, how does that get me sales? I don't get that. We tend to think about three types of metrics: activity metrics, interaction metrics, and return metrics. Activity metrics are the ones you start with. You've got to start in social. You've got to start in content. So how many posts? How frequently are you doing that? What are the first steps you take? You're going to have to do that for a while before you get to interaction. That's when your audience actually starts to respond. So maybe they're leaving a comment. Maybe they're doing they're giving you some information to get a download that becomes a lead opportunity. And then after that, you actually get to a point where you're going to start to generate some business returns. If you start a social program or as you're looking at a new strategy for a new year and think about, we've got metrics across those three areas, it gives you a basis to say up front, you know what, I know you want business returns and we're going to get there, but here's the steps that it's going to take. Here's maybe the effort that it's going to take to do that. And maybe those returns are going to be 9 months out or 12 months out, but we'll start to show you these metrics as they populate across the way. So just a different way than saying, well, here's all of our social metrics, and it's sort of disconnected from returns. This gives you a way to build into that. So to be more strategic, create your own sort of mini dashboard. And in that book, there's a build-as-you-go strategy plan. As I had to admit at dinner last night, for people who do work for other companies to help them document strategies, there's a lot of what our strategy is that's right up here because, again, I don't necessarily need to tell people about it. But this is a pretty simple way that we'll use with clients to not burden them or over-labor strategy, but just get down in writing so people can start to see it. And again, you can start talking about it in your organization. It's got places for your audience persona, for your whole brain metrics, for some of the content things. In two or three pages, you can get enough documentation down that you've got a pretty good little plan for how you're going to go about things. So that's a bunch on strategy. Questions about anything we talked about in there? Corporate campfires, metrics, personas. Oh, yeah. It's the ebook that we partnered up with GSMI. So it's solo social media. It's at info.brainzooming.com. Actually, on your orange sheet, did you get an orange sheet? You didn't get an orange sheet. Let me get in your orange sheet. The address is on there on the back, too. So in case I, thank you very much. Yeah, take a few more back there. Thank you. Yeah, so it's also back there as well. So there's a lot of detail in there. How big is that thing, Brianna? That's like, what, 30 pages or something? Crazy stupid. Quality book. There's an unbiased testimonial from a downloader of this. Thank you so much. So let's talk about performance. So what are the things in terms of time or producing enough content that maybe you can take advantage of. And these really come back to, can you produce something once and use it multiple times? Can you speed up producing it? And how can you focus on the things that are going to get you the most benefit? That once you produce them, you're going to be able to use them a lot of ways, or they'll have a long life cycle. There's two kinds of things in here. There's hens and hacks. So hens, in what we do, and it sort of comes out of a creative terminology from one of my creative mentors, a hen lays an egg. And that hen will lay eggs and eggs and eggs. So for us, a hen is a concept that you can apply in a variety of situations. And it's going to, you'll be able to come up with new ideas or new approaches all the time. The hacks are pretty much specifically, here's a tip or a tool or a trick that you can use to save time. So between the hens and the hacks, you've got some ways that you can get some time efficiency and maybe get more out of your content to improve the performance and save you some time, allow you to either do more in reaching out with social and content, or maybe do other things that you need to be doing within your responsibilities. One of the things, and I asked a question of Jeremy this morning about evergreen content, because he was talking a lot about trends, use Bing Trends and Google Trends and do very trendy stuff. That's really cool, and you can definitely ride the wave of trends. As a solo social media person, I don't know what you find, I don't have time to write trendy content. Are there any of you doing it by yourself that really focus a lot on trends? No. I think it's a great opportunity, but what we try and do is write content that's got a long lifetime that you can come back to again and again or break up in some interesting ways. So we're going to talk about that. So have you heard the term evergreen content before? What's evergreen content, Nicole?
It is something that is relevant over time.
Exactly. So it's got a long lifetime. I sort of describe as the difference between, you know, the trendy stuff is sort of news, that it's hot today and it's going to be forgotten tomorrow, versus encyclopedias. So what I'm writing with Brain Zooming, I'm writing an encyclopedia. There's a few things, like I did a Super Bowl post on Monday, but, you know, quite honestly, by the end of the day, the NFL had pulled several of the videos, and Frito-Lay's had pulled the video, and it's like it's a shell of a post because of all this other stuff, as opposed to writing things that will get traction over time so that they'll stick around for longer, create broader views for the content, create organic traffic to it. I mean, I was so surprised, and Jeremy talked about it this morning, of going back and looking at which posts are getting a lot of traffic, and you can assume some things about search from that. I looked up recently. I wrote a post 2.5-3 years ago, eight questions to come up with cool product names. Now, we don't really even necessarily do product names, but I had written a post about how to create with titles, job titles, and somebody said, well, how would you apply that to names? I looked the other day, this, in 3 years, and, you know, for some of your brands, this may be nothing traffic, but for us, I think it's our number one or two post. It's been viewed 55,000 times, and we don't even do naming. I started writing a naming ebook, and I'm going to create the process that we use to do naming, because we do it, but it's not really an official product offering. So think about, can I write things that are going to have attraction year after year, or if it's trendy, it'll at least come back around again and again that people may be looking for that. Armageddon was talking about yesterday, eating the whole cow, and this idea of using the information, the formats, and really blowing out your content in every way possible. So really cool idea. Got the picture. So now, I'm going to say, well, how do you decide how to blow up that cow or eat the whole, I guess you're not going to blow up the cow. Eat the whole cow, yeah. I'll stick with what he, how are you going to butcher that cow and as you think about content? So here's some of the math of disaggregating your content. Again, this whole list is in the ebook, but I want to talk about a couple of these to think about, I've got a piece of content, how can I change it around and use it in a different way? Anybody want to picture that one? I'll stop for a minute if you want to take a Diet Dr. Pepper sip. So, okay, cool. And again, it's in. So number two on that list is if you've got a tweet and an Instagram picture, can you put those together and feature up a Facebook post? So this idea, I think Phil talked about it yesterday, not just having the same stuff everywhere, but can you put a different spin on it or combine off of different channels and reuse that content, get more value out of it. A blog post, take out some of the words, get more images in it, and create an infographic. So is anybody using Canva? A few Canva users. It's a good one to check out. Sort of more user-oriented graphics. And I'll say another one out there is also called VisMe, V-I-S-M-E. They keep emailing me and say, would you please write a blog post about us? I was like, I don't have time to write your damn blog post. Send me, write a post for me and I'll publish it. But it's another one out there doing the same kind of thing, sort of easy interface to do graphics. Blog post links plus a title times 10. Who does compilation blog posts? That is a time saver. If you subscribe to the BrainZooming blog and you come up on a compilation blog post day where here's 17 blog posts about how to come up with brand strategy, it means one of two things. Either somebody has asked, what do you guys have on this? And it's a way to organize it for them. Or Mike didn't have time to put together a legitimate blog post that had a lot of writing in it. So you get a blog compilation. But it's a great way, if you've got evergreen content, to refeature it or to provide some organization to it. Because a blog is sort of like you're writing against a book outline, but it's all in different time. This is a way to put some organization and provide great value to people. And then those 17 posts can actually become an ebook as well. Who writes blog posts over like 800 or 1,000 words? What? Not always. Sometimes. Sometimes good is better. I try and shoot for somewhere between 300 to 500 words. And that's because somebody told me one time, this was a subscriber, he said, you get 60 to 90 seconds of my time every morning, and never discount that. He said, you own me for a minute to a minute and a half. And I realized that's about 250 to 400 words. So that's a nice range. It's sort of a digestible amount. So if you do find yourself writing more or writing shorter than that, think about that kind of range, because it's long enough that the search engines are going to say, well, there's some meat to that content, but not so long that it's too long for somebody to read. Or if it does need to be longer, you can split it up over multiple days and create a whole series. Video interviews. Who does video interviews for your brand? Sure. I do, and I mean, it's not a strict thing where if I have 570 words, I'm going to cut it out. But I also am a ruthless self-editor. I'll edit. When I do an edit on a post, I will try to take out 10 to 15% of the words just based on I'll write too long. So it's not a, don't be stupid and say, well, gosh, I can't really get my point across in that time. But think about, can I be more simple, more focused, and if I'm trying to make 5 points, could I make individual points over 5 blog posts potentially? Great question. Who does video interviews? Do you ever dice and slice those puppies up? So what do you do with them? Yes, well, how you place them, but then do you chunk those out into other types of content?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, you can get a podcast segment, you could pull the audio, you could pull out actual transcripts and do blog posts out of that, you can get images out of that. I always tell people, if you're stuck for time or you've got executives who are reluctant to do blog posts, go around and video them with your phone and then pull out that snippet that's really good or turn that into some text and you can get a lot of content out of there. Yeah. So this is one of our clients, Nancy Rosenow from Nature Explorer, who's talking about how we engaged with them and how it helped them sort of align their people. If we were doing a BrainZooming podcast, I could pull out the audio off of that video and say, hey, welcome to the BrainZooming podcast. Today we're talking about kind of how we apply what we do and how you can get value out of collaboration. And with this, we've got Nancy Rosenow to talk about how they were able to collaborate in their organization, insert audio, and do a close, and I got a short podcast. Yeah. But again, anything that you've got with somebody, if you're talking to them for enough time, put an open and close, or string a couple of them together, and you've got podcast topics. just from doing the, you know, getting good audio when you're shooting that video.
I know I asked a lot of questions, but I
apologize. No, that's good.
The Vimeo for video, YouTube, obviously, when you're doing a podcast, what service do you use to host all the information?
See, I'm not a podcaster. So is anybody doing podcasts? What service do you use? iTunes. If give me your contact information, because my friend Alex Greenwood, we've actually started to do a podcast, but Alex does a lot of podcasts, so I can get you, I can put you in touch. He's
SoundCloud.
He's A_Greenwood on Twitter. Anybody use JoinMe? So a few folks, how are you using JoinMe? Just for shared meetings on screen or? There's a cool, so look out for JoinMe. I think I pay $10 a month for it. You can do that for sort of a live webinar, but it also has a record function. And you don't necessarily have to have an audience to do that, so you can create your own webinars. If you've got a PowerPoint deck and you've got a voice talent, or you can do it, or a salesperson or somebody in your organization, just create your own little webinar, and you can download it and feature that content in a blog or send a link out to people. So again, great way to take presentations and give a little bit of life to them and extend their reach. And then events. So who does customer events in your company? Nobody does customer events? Yeah. They are great sources of content. It's amazing. When you bring customers together or employees together, there's always possibilities for content. Here's a couple we did. So we helped a transportation company do a customer forum. You know, so instead of just bringing customers in and telling them about the company, we had them talk about what they saw as industry trends and what their needs are, and we created a webinar out of that. So user content, package it up, put some themes to it, and now we've got a webinar. We did this one for Nature Explorer, which I just mentioned. They had a conference, and I did a closing presentation on innovation and creativity. We had 120 educators write an ebook in 45 minutes. So by using our creativity techniques, we took them down a path and now have all this content to actually put into an ebook that they can use as a download. Nature Explorer and one of their partners can use for a new online learning piece that they have. So if you've ever got customers together, ask them for content. Big social media tip, ABC, always be capturing, curating, creating, and checking content. Be as efficient as you can. You're listening to customer conversations. You know, customer service calls where customers are asking you things. Those are great blog topics. Or, you know, Facebook posts, things that you can get out and answer questions ahead of time. So stop for a minute if you're getting a photo. It's not the best shot for, got it? Curate. Who watches the entertainment shows at night, like E! Stuff and entertainment? I'm the only one that ever watches shows like, watch how they curate content. I mean, they'll take one video and they'll chop it up and show it to you three times. They'll show it one night and then show another part of it another night. It's a great place to look for ideas on how do you curate content and get more value out of it that way. And blog topics. I could do a whole thing on, I will be doing a whole thing in Chicago on creating fantastic content if you come to that social media strategy summit. But you can use all types of creativity techniques. If you Google brain zooming 187 blog ideas, that will hit a blog post with a whole bunch of ideas that you can just start to use. And again, they're not specific to any one business. They're more like hens. You can keep coming back and applying those and think of new ways and new topics. Ultimately, it comes down to being creative and how creative can you be. So here's now watch what I'm going to do. I'm using a content creating opportunity at an event. If you all complete one of these plus minus unexpected and recommendation and question forms, just one idea, you know, one thing you like, maybe one thing you didn't like, one thing unexpected about the presentation, a recommendation or question, and leave that. These were actually inspired by brain zooming, these I Am Creative socks. So I'll give out three pairs. I will mail to you. So I'll contact you of these I Am Creative socks for giving me content that, Andre, what could I use that for? When I get these back. Blog topic ideas, changes to the presentation, potentially new presentations that we could do. So I try and practice this stuff of any time I'm with an audience, can I get content that we can use to help what we do? So this one I think is the best hack or tip out of the day. Who does proof listening? Oh good, nobody. So this will be a whole new one. When you're writing by yourself, it's one thing to proofread, but it's an entirely different thing to hear that. And at times I'll read it to myself, but if you take a post that you've written or any type of thing of longer form that justifies doing this, convert it into a PDF, and then in Adobe, if you go under View, that menu, and Read Out Loud, and click Activate Read Out Loud, it will read your document to you. And it's amazing when you hear you've used words twice very close within a sentence that you'd never notice it just by proofreading, or things that are awkward or things that don't sound right. Proof listening, if you're on your own, is fantastic. Now, I will tell you, I don't do this to blog posts because I can change them, but I write a weekly e-newsletter for somebody else. I proof listen to everything because I know I can't change it once I send it to them. So proof listening, PDF, View, Read Out Loud, Activate Read Out Loud, and then listen to your documents. There's another great tip that's coming up in a minute that's in the book, and I'll tell you what that is too. I think it's the better hack even. SEO tools, are you using things inside your WordPress blog to help you think about SEO and keywords and all that? No? Yes? We use Scribe Content, SEO Scribe. Yoast is out there as well. What's great about those is they will help you not only on a blog post that you're working on now, but it will help you get better over time of kind of understanding keywords and how frequently they should be in there. Helps shed a little bit of light in the black box that that is keywords and social engine optimization. Great tip, shift as much content creation out of real time as you can, and some type of a dashboard tool. Now, Jeremy talked about some this morning. I happen to be a Hootsuite user. Any other Hootsuite users in here? For us, it works really well. It allows me to schedule ahead of time. I could upload a bunch of blog posts before I left town the other day. So I basically have blog posts loaded up through next Thursday, and I can change those as I want and put in new ones, but it's really quick. The tip I was going to say is in that ebook, there's an Excel equation that actually will allow you to come up with a time and a date calculation in Excel to really facilitate doing those uploads of blog posts. It's great. It took my partner to figure out how to do it in Excel because they've changed some of the stuff. But those can be great tools. The one thing I will tell you about Hootsuite is it has screwed up its mobile app, particularly in the iOS world. It sucks right now. And I don't know why they did that, but it makes it really hard to live tweet events like this. But that's a good one. Anybody else use it, some kind of a dashboard application? Buffer. I think we heard Social Bro this morning and Sprinkler. Okay. So there's a bunch out there. You just sort of have to find which one works best for you. And finally, performance fundamentals. Focus on the strongest impact per use. Okay. This is the new cat, Salvi. He's becoming our new social media star. His title is going to be The Dude, D-O-O-D, for Director of Open Doors, because he hates a closed door in the house. He just constantly knocks on it. So anyway, that's our new cat. We use CrowdBooster. Anybody use CrowdBooster? Again, I think it's about $6 a month. It will show you your Twitter and Facebook accounts and show you interactions. So how many retweets did they get, how much audience, how many interactions. I'll use that then to decide these are the tweets I'm going to republish and use, or maybe vary them a little bit. But I want to hit ones that an audience has responded to previously. Or you can do the same thing in Twitter analytics. If you go in there, it can show you which ones and the type of hits. So heavy up on those things that are getting good per use. Basically, anything that helps speed up what you produce is good from a performance fundamental standpoint. Anything on performance fundamentals? I flew through that as I promised I was. That wasn't this time. That was some other previous time. Last time I was here, I rode the roller coaster of New York, 10 times in a row. And actually started doing poses with the photos instead of just doing like this. Like, I did one where I was asleep. And my father's like, "You really fell asleep on the roller coaster?" "No, Dad, I didn't fall asleep on the roller coaster." So what if you don't have enough budget? What can you do there? Maybe there's a volunteer team you could start to put together or some guerrilla activation things. Let me dive into those. Does anybody else try and reach out to others in your organization to write or be part of a social media team? How's that working? What kind of things are you doing?
It's a little bit of a struggle.
So here's an idea that maybe can help some of you who haven't tried to tackle this yet. What we do is recommend like little 6-point job descriptions of what do you want people to do. It's one thing to say, hey, could you help me with social media? It's another to be able to say, hey, I need a social sharer. I'm trying to build a team. You know, you're active on social media, you're connected on networks, you're willing to track our social content. What's it going to involve? Stay alert for when we release new stuff, reshare it, and continue to grow your network with our audience members. Now, if you came to ask me, I actually have a sense of what you're asking me to do, and I can look at that and say, that's me or that's not me. Or if I need somebody else to write, can I give them just, again, a little six-bullet job description? And don't call it that. That may not be the thing you want to call it, but now they know the role that they can play, and you've helped set them up a little bit for more success. You know, give them the persona with that. You've now got a possibility. There's some questions in that ebook as well on how to activate social media. This comes out of the sponsorship marketing world, but just some questions to think about. How am I going to market the social media or the content marketing I'm doing? Are there other experts? Are there other sources? It just is a way to force you to think about, I look at this thing Monday through Friday the same way every day, and I've maybe shut off to some possibilities that are out there that if I looked at it a different way, I'd start to see. And basically getting more investment, making that case to the boss, comes back to demonstrating ROI. So if you've got back to the strategy we talked about, you've tied in a strategy to business objectives, you've got a metric set in place, and you can start to track and do downloads and show where you're engaging an audience, you may see some more possibility here of, here's how we're actually contributing to the business. Can we invest some more resources in this if we're seeing a return? So integrating strategy, priority, and tactics to make sure and use your, what's our most important question? There you go, what are we trying, don't lose sight of what are we trying to achieve. Distributing more of the right content in less time and take advantage of the free resources, the other ideas, the other people out there. We've hit some questions. Are there any other questions that you guys have got before we wrap up? You see it, Nicole? Okay, you see. Yeah, it's, you know, it wouldn't be a social media presentation without an F-bomb, so I had to get one in there. Leonardo. So are your customers interested in social media or your audiences interested in social media? So a couple of ideas. I live tweet a lot of these things, and then I go out and grab my tweets and can flip them around and write blog posts off of that. So maybe here's 15 big things I heard at a social media strategy summit. If they're looking for people, now this may not be the right thing, you could go around and do video interviews of cool speakers or people who you think would be attractive for them to know, or experts, and feature those up. You know, we talked to 15 people at the conference, and we're going to be sharing those over the next couple of weeks. 90-second, just, you know, let them shine could be another way. Create presentations when you come to these conferences, and use the audience and have them participate and talk about job challenges or what they're looking for in careers. Maybe another way to do it. So those are a couple of three ideas. Other questions? So there's the address again on the book. It's on the back side. And if you need another orange form, I was prepared for a lot bigger. I wasn't sure how many people we're going to have. So I have other ones of those if you want to take that back with you if you didn't get a chance to download it today. I told you I did a survey of solo people originally. I thought this was the best tip. Always carry a second admin in case you're struck by lightning and have the only keys to the organization's social media kingdom. Who has a second admin that knows your passwords? Good for you. I do not. Even now doing this, I still have not. Nobody else has them. I'm the only one. But
Would you
can tap into our 2,000 blog posts. My next goal on the blog, I'm actually getting close. I think the Bible is like 750,000 words, and I'm right around 600,000 words or so. So I'll have like a Bible of brain-zooming content. I don't think mine will become the best-selling book of all time. No. No, Nicole agrees. She hasn't even looked at a blog. No, you know. Well, there's kind of a creative... Yeah, maybe not. This is from the last time somebody, Justin Levy, said this, which I think is a good thing to send you back with, that a lot of times if you're the only person doing social, you may not be as visible in the best ways as you can. So in a smart way, demonstrate your value, be able to talk about that. And again, if you're coming at it from a strategic perspective, I think it's going to open a lot more conversations for you, a lot more meaningful, high-impact conversations with executives in the organization than talking to them about Twitter and Facebook and all that. Talk about business objectives, talk about results, talk about how you impact, and really starts to set you in a different kind of foot. So there's the ebook again, but thank you all very much. Been great hanging in here at the end of the conference. And I've got an orange bag if you want to turn in your forms, and I will draw three of those and reach out to you and give you some I Am Creative socks. And I'll be around for the rest of the conference, so if you've got any questions, thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Thanks.